want to just say this before we jump in. I look around the room, you know, every Sunday. And just today, looking around the room, I just see faces. And as I've told you before, I see stories. And just to see so many stories here this morning, to know so many of you. And I had a chance this morning, I just kind of made it a point to walk around, and I saw a bunch of folks I knew, and I met a bunch of folks I didn't. And to just see and to sense and to hear God at work in the lives of so many, it's just amazing. We just want you to know, Mitchell and I and the team here at Blackhawk, we are really, really thankful that you are here. We're thankful that you're here, you know, all the time, you know, if that's you. But this morning, just, you know, we believe God's brought you here for a very specific purpose. And we hope that your hearts are open and that your minds would be receptive to what the Spirit of God and the Word of God would have for you. We're really, really thankful that you're here today. All right, here we go. We're going to jump back in right where we left off last week. We began a three-week look at what we're calling generous living. Generous living. You and I, those of us that know the Lord, those of us that have fully surrendered our hearts and lives to Christ, we're called by God to live lives that, in response to God, are generous in the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we think, the way that we give, the way that we function, our time and our talent and our treasure, a generous people. Okay, so to get you back in the generous mindset, here's what I want you to do this morning, and we're going to just kind of go with this. A cookie, a big chocolate chip cookie. Go ahead and just kind of like so big you'd put like both hands out to hold it, all right? We're talking a really big chocolate chip cookie. Or maybe it's a huge brownie, I don't know. But it's just really, really good. It's got a lot of sugar in it. You're going to have to run an extra mile the next day. But go ahead and just go ahead, picture that, would you, right now? Picture that you've got in your hands a very big chocolate chip cookie. Now, you're you, or maybe you can imagine being younger, or if you're younger in the room, you know, just track with me here. Kids, listen, you got that big cookie, and whether you're a kid or an adult, now enter into the picture your spouse or a kid or a sibling, a brother or sister or a friend. Enter into the picture. Somebody else comes and stands next to you. Everybody put your hands out like this. You got the cookie. It's huge, and it's thick, and it's chewy. I like chocolate chip cookies thick and chewy. How about you? All right.
Is it soft?
It's soft.
Yeah, I like that.
And thick and chewy.
I like that.
You got your hands here? Now somebody's next to you. And you could be a little kid. You could be an old adult. What happens here is universal. So now it's time to share the cookie. They say, can I have some of the cookie? Well, you split the cookie with me and you go, ugh. Yeah. I'll split the cookie with you. So everybody together now do what you all would do. We would all break the what? Cookie in half. And then immediately the first thought is what? See? First hour is the same thing. Immediately. It's like innate in us from birth. It's like once we split that brownie, once we split that cookie, the very first thought is which half is bigger. And then the next thought is what am I going to do with the bigger half? Am I going to give him the bigger? You're all laughing because you're all so greedy, just like me. We asked you last week in our discussion about generosity. We asked you a very important question. Is there any room in your heart and life for greater levels? All of you. Is there any room in your heart and life for greater levels of generosity? And we started our discussion last week, I think, at the place that we should start every discussion. We started the generosity discussion with God. And we went to the scriptures, and it was so very clear as we looked to the Word of God. And we found it, and we saw it, and we proclaimed it last week that our God, my friends, is a very, very generous God. God is generous. He is so generous. He is so loving, so kind, and so gracious, and so giving that He redeemed us. So kind and so generous that He looked at you and He looked at me in the midst of all of our sin, in the midst of all of our imperfection. He looked at mankind and generously gave a gift that would set us all free, give us all forgiveness and life. Give us all a transformed heart and soul, allowing all of us that fully surrender our hearts and lives to Him. The gift of being in relationship with Him, a generous God who did an amazing thing in giving you and I life through Jesus Christ, His Son. So there's a need for a response. We were pretty clear about that, and everybody agreed with that. Him having done that, we now respond toward Him, and everybody responds. Some reject that gift. Some hear about and even witness and see the generosity of God, and yet they remain prideful in heart. They remain committed to somehow trying to bridge that gap between God and man on their own. And that may be you. You may be here this morning, and you may still be thinking that through. And that you're here and that you're still thinking that through, we want you to know how thankful we are for the chance that you give us to speak truth into your heart and life. Our hope is that you would continue to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to speak into your mind and your heart. That is a gap that you'll never fill. That is a distance that you nor I could have ever made up. But some reject it. Others of us in the room who know Him, we have humbly, just at some point in time, we bowed the knee of our heart to Him and we gave ourselves completely to Him. We repented. We realized our sinfulness. And in repentance, we move away from that sin. Our response to God and His and the salvation that He brings, we repent, we worship God, we're thankful to God, we serve God, we adore God, all of these very, very appropriate responses. But God has always said, and the Scriptures have always taught, that that cannot be. And I want you to think vertically, if you will. That's a vertical response to God. You're thankful, you're gracious, yeah, you worship Him, you serve Him. God has always said, while that's appropriate and called for, that cannot be the only response we have. There has got to be, in response to God, a horizontal response toward others. Your generosity and mine can't just go toward Him. It can't just go toward Him. It must go toward others. If it doesn't go toward others, James 2 says it's not a genuine response. Mitch talked about James 2. Last week, just in a nutshell, the gist of that was what, Mitch?
There's no such thing as receiving God's generosity vertically and not issuing it horizontally to others. There's no such thing. If I have received genuinely the generosity of God, then I will be, in my heart, generous toward others.
So I just invite you to draw a line on a piece of paper right there. If you got a pen, I just invite you to just draw a vertical line on that piece of paper. Pull a card out from the pew rack. Just somehow kind of get this picture in your mind. A vertical line indicating the vertical generosity you and I have toward God. And here's what I want you to realize this morning, and we're going to continue down this road. A vertical generosity. You see that line there that you drew? A vertical generosity that is void of horizontal generosity. Go ahead and draw a line. Even though we're talking about the lack of it, draw a horizontal line right across the middle of that vertical line. And that is the cross. And that is the message. This is the message. This is the implication of the cross. Vertical generosity that is void of horizontal generosity is not generosity, my friends. It is greed. And you might sit there, I might sit there and say, well, wait a minute, at least I've got half of it. I may be extremely grateful to God, generous in my response to God. So there, Kelly, I've got half of it. And I would suggest to you this morning that half of it is none of it. You're not halfway generous, you're just that, really, you're that much more greedy. Because to have that, to have all that He's given you, to have all that He's provided me, to be the recipient of all that He has poured out to us, and to not be willing to give it back, not only to Him, but to those in your life and mine, to those in need, to those in your family. If you're not willing, and I'm not willing, to be generous with our time and our talent and our treasure, there is a greediness in us that needs to be and must be addressed. I want to take you, if I can, and then Mitch is going to get us going on this, to a passage in Matthew 19. And I want to ask you the question that we left you with last week. How will you respond? How will you and I live? With generosity? Generous response? We saw last week, Deuteronomy 15. Remember Deuteronomy 15, the closed fist He says, don't close it, open it. Allow all that God has given you, allow all that he has blessed you with to flow freely, not only in your response to me, but in your relationship with others. How will you respond, with generosity or with greed? Deuteronomy 8. We went to Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 6. Greed, this thinking that the houses that he talked about, the houses they lived in, the fields that were plowed, the vineyards that were planted, the wells that were dug, none of which they did. He provides all of that. And he says, don't forget that. Don't forget I gave you. Don't forget it was me, and it is me, who gives you the strength and the ability to make what you make and have what you have. How will you, we left you with that question, will you be generous or will you be greedy with your time, talent, and treasure? And we want to show you this morning. Mitch came up with this week, and we've had a great time talking about it. A great example of a young man in the Gospels who had all three. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word, and let me read for you Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. It is here that we find the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16, it says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he said to him, which ones? The young man asks the Lord, which ones? Tell me. And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept, but what am I, you see it there, what am I still lacking? And Jesus said to him, verse 21, if you wish to be complete, in the NIV it says, if you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Father God, it is with great humility and with great anticipation that we stand before you this morning, that we come into this place hoping, God, that you would fill us up with whatever knowledge and insight and understanding that you would have for us, God, as we would as a people this morning open our hearts to new levels, new perspectives of generosity. Father God, as a people, as we would gather here and give ourselves to all that you would have for us on that front, God, grow us, please, and stretch us. God, bring conviction and reminders. Thank you for the power, the penetrating, life-changing power of your word. And may each of us in this room this morning be receptive to it. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Well, Kelly established last week that we have time, talent, and treasures. We're gifted. But do you still oftentimes feel dissatisfied? You're gifted. You have time, you have talent, you have treasures. You may even have the church routine thing down. Maybe religious. But sometimes, maybe often, you still feel dissatisfied. There's this thirst in your soul. And that's really what we think is addressed here. And that's point number one. So just write it down as the gifted. The gifted. The rich young ruler. We find from Luke that he's a ruler. Rich, he had treasures. Young, he had time. 2,000 years ago, using this word for a man meant that he was somewhere between the age of 20 and 40 years old.
43, okay?
Could be.
Okay.
You're pretty young.
Thanks.
And then he's a ruler. He had talent. He had talent. 2,000 years ago, somebody active in Judaism was able to have, in essence, his own kingdom, and that's what was allowed him by the Roman Empire. So he is rich. He has treasures. He is young. He has time. And he is a ruler. He has talent. And he comes up to Jesus. This is verses 16 through 19. We'll just walk through. on this point. And he asked this question, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Mark's account of this says that he ran and fell on his knees. And he yells out, "Teacher," very respectful term to Jesus. "What good thing must I do to obtain," NIV says, "to get," Mark and Luke say, "to inherit eternal life?" There's something lacking. It means to hold on. What must I do to get, to obtain, to inherit, to hold on, to receive and know that I have eternal life, Zoe life, spiritual, abundant, eternal vitality of life? Something's missing, he said. Jesus, in Jesus' fashion, answers the question with a question. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one," capital O, "one who is good." Now, some say that Jesus here is kind of putting off his deity, and I think the opposite is true. Jesus is clarifying to the rich young ruler that he's attracted to God in Christ. He's attracted to God in the flesh. He's attracted to a heart that doesn't seem to have as much treasures, yet he seems to have all the time in the world. He's available to people. And he's got this amazing talent. And there's something inside him that seems to be more satisfying and has deeper relationships than this guy who had it all. And Jesus points him back to the vertical. "You're attracted to God in me." Now, good, why do you call me good? Good is also translated generous. So he's pointing the rich young ruler to the generous one in him. Good is a derivative of God, and God is a generous God. And Jesus says, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Now, here's what's really interesting. The guy says, you know, Kelly will talk about his response, but the commandments now that he mentions, the commandments he mentions are horizontal commandments. Horizontal commandments. Commandments that require me to be generous with my time, talent, and treasures to others. So Jesus, right up front, has connected the rich young ruler, you, with time, talent, and treasures, to the idea of where the vertical intersects in the sweet spot with the horizontal, where the generosity of God is lived out, like we talked about in James, in generosity horizontally with others. And we need to ask ourselves this question. How am I spending my time, my talent, and my treasures? How am I stewarding the resources of life that God gave me? How am I investing my time, my talent, and my treasures? Am I trusting in the gifts, or am I trusting in the giver? Am I valuing merely the gifts and making my decisions and operating my life around those, or am I trusting in the giver, the one who gave me the ability to have these, the one who is the resource provider? And indicators of that, you might want to write it down. An indicator of your time would be your calendar, your Outlook Express, the appointments you have on your iPad or on that calendar that seems to be in the kitchen that has all of family life on it. What does it say about how you're spending your time? What does it say? Are you trusting in the gift of time and using it for your own selfish benefit? Or are you trusting in the giver and using the time for only your unselfish benefit and the benefit of others? Are you white-knuckling your time? What does your calendar say? It doesn't lie. For your talent, let's just take your business card. God has uniquely designed his expression in each one of us differently than others. And so let's just say I'm a CPA. If I'm a CPA, am I CPAing for my own selfish benefit or for the benefit of God and others, for Christ's kingdom? Does it mean that I have to close my practice down and go get on staff at a church? It might mean that, but doesn't have to mean that. It means, how do I see the use of my talent? Is it selfish or unselfish? Is it greedy or is it generous?
And when you say business card, it could say student.
It could say
mom.
It
could say housewife. It could say anything. Whatever it is God's given you to do.
Absolutely. It's great. And then the treasures would be, namely, my checking account. It could be all of my investments, all of my assets, whatever they are. But what does how I spend my treasures say about my heart? Am I trusting in the gifts or am I trusting in the giver? You might say, well, my checking account shows survival, Mitch. My mortgage payment, my car payments, school tuition, et cetera, grocery bills, utilities, all that, taxes, insurance. I get it. I know. I'm with you on that. But what about the relationships on the other side of those? Am I generous or am I greedy? Am I trusting in the gifts or am I trusting in the giver? We just need to review that we are gifted with time, talent, and treasures, and we need to review that our use of that generous inheritance of life, of Zoe in the Greek, spiritual, eternal, abundant vitality of life.
Follow with me now through the passage. Go next to verse 20, verses 20 and 22. Here we see the gap. There is, God does an amazing thing here, my friends, with this young man, and he does an amazing thing to you and to me as we read through this. He exposes in him, and in doing so, I believe he exposes in you and me this gap, this distance that so many times exists between what he designed and made us to be and how it is that we actually live and choose and value. Watch this. So he gives them the commands to follow, these horizontal commands. And then in verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. And I want to say this. I grew up hearing this passage taught. And so many times when I would hear this passage taught, what I remember is teachers teaching it as if the young man said, all these things I've kept, so what am I still lacking? Kind of feel. And the more I've read it and the more I've studied it, I'm not so sure that's the mindset. I'm not so sure that's the attitude. The more I read it and the more I study it, I feel like he's genuine. It says in, was it Mark, he fell on his face. Mm-hmm. I don't get the sense that he's coming with this enormously, enormously proud and demanding spirit. He falls on his knees, he gets on his face when he comes to the Lord. Now the Lord gives him the commands, and I think genuinely, though he might be genuinely missing some things, he genuinely says, I'm doing that. He says, all these things I've kept. So I'm trying really hard, but there's this emptiness. There's this gap. There's this connection that's not being made. All these things I have kept, what am I still? You see it there? What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell. You see it there? If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. I want you to turn there, if you will, to Mark. I want you to see Jesus' response to this young man. Go to Mark 10. I know we see Jesus' response right here in the Matthew passage, but it's just so interesting when you go to Mark 10:21. I just want you to see how it reads there, because I love not only what the Lord says, I love how the Lord says it. I love the heart of our Lord. You see it there? Looking at him, this young man who obviously, watch this, this young man who obviously wasn't getting it.
And sometimes when you and I deal with people who aren't getting it, sometimes we have the tendency to respond in kind of prideful ways, or we can start to get kind of short or harsh or rigid. Sometimes in our religiosity, we can look down on someone who isn't quite making the grade. And I just love the fact that our Lord looks at this lost young man, and it says Jesus felt a love for him. Jesus felt love in his heart for him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Jesus lovingly exposes the rich young ruler's gap in keeping the commandments. He was doing some things, that's true. But he wasn't doing what God made him to do. He wasn't functioning in the way that God made him to function. And he says to him this, and this is a very important question. And my friends, this is not just an important question for this young man. The question he asks here, I think, is a huge question for many of you in the room this morning. I can only imagine, in a room this size with this many people, how many of you need to hear the question, would you like to be complete? Would you like to be moving toward all that God designed you to be? Living in a way that God designed you to live? Thinking in a way that God designed you to live? How many people in this room right here this morning, those watching on the broadcast, would just really, really love to know the answer to that? You want to be complete? I love it. Then go. Go and come. He says two things, basically. If you wish to be complete, go. Go and sell your possessions. Go and sell. Let go of greed. You can just write that down. Let go of greed. You want to be complete in your time, in your talent, in your treasure. Let go of greed. Sell your possessions. Go. Secondly, write this down. Be generous. Be generous. Give. Give to the poor. Out of all that, again, last week, I'll just take you back real quick. How many in the room are wealthy? How many of us are rich? All of us. Out of all that God has given you, out of all that he has blessed you and I with, he says, if you want to be complete, give it away. Be willing to give it away. Let go of greed, sell your possessions. Be generous, give to the poor. Have intimacy with God. Have treasure in heaven. You see it there? And you will have treasure in heaven. You will be making heavenly deposits. He says, go, let go of greed, be generous, have intimacy, and come, follow Christ.
See, the thirst in the soul is intimacy with God, and it's interesting how it's connected to being generous with my resources of life. It flows from a generous heart, one that trusts the giver and not the gifts. And Jesus says, come, follow me. Write this down. Follow Christ and have intimacy with God through generous living. Follow Christ and have intimacy with God through generous living. Follow Christ and have intimacy with God through generous living. Intimacy is my innermost being connected with another's. And so that's what's going on with God. And then that's lived out in being intimate with others through generous living. I've received generosity. I issue generosity. It's so interesting that he says, go and let go of greed. Let go of trusting in the gifts. And come, hold on to the giver. Hold on to Christ. See, he wanted to know, how do I hold on? How do I inherit? How do I obtain? How do I get? Jesus says, let go of trusting in the gifts and hold on to trusting in the giver. Hold on to the giver. Hold on to the generous one in me. And then the rich young ruler responds. And he responds in greed. He responds in trusting in the gifts. Matthew says he went away sad because he had great wealth. He had great time, talent, and treasures. He was a rich, young ruler.
He's grieving.
And SB says he's grieving. Yeah.
Which is another indication that I think he was very genuine. I think there was something going on deep in his soul as he asks this question. He didn't like the answer. He chose not to let go, and he goes away grieving, grieving in his heart, knowing, I think, as I read the text, that what he was choosing, it saddened him to the point of grief, and yet he chooses it.
And he's got this dissatisfaction in his soul. Mark 10:22 in his account says that his face fell. And it's interesting that whether or not I'm generous or greedy with my time, talent, and treasures is determined by the direction of my trust. Whether or not I'm generous or greedy with my time, talent, and treasures is determined by the object of my trust. You know, we talked about, that'll lead us to the third point, which is generosity is trusting in the giver. But we talked about, you had seen something here where some people teach this as every single person here should go sell their possessions.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people will hear us, you know, next week on the Bible Hour, or they'll listen to us online. Some of you maybe in the room are thinking this right now, but I promise you there will be some responses, and they will be genuine, but folks will write in or email in and want to know, should they sell everything they have? In their desire to honor God, they'll say, is what you're telling us, is that should we actually just sell everything? Should we sell this building? Should we all just sell everything we have and give all that we make off the sale to the poor? And is that the optimal picture of God-honoring living? And Mitch has a great response to that.
Well,
the scriptures have a great response
to
that.
Yeah, I've studied this for myself. I've read what other people say about it. John MacArthur, I think, in one particular book addresses this actual issue. And Jesus, and I just read another book by a young guy who gives his life to serving the poor, and he thinks that we should do this. At least I think that's what he's saying. I'll leave him room for some misinterpretation on my part. Maybe. Here's what's going on. Jesus encounters this guy, and this is what he tells him. But when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, he didn't say, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He said, I'll give you water so that you'll never thirst again. Remember, she had the five husbands and was with one who wasn't her husband then? When Jesus encounters Nicodemus, the Pharisee who thought he was born into eternal life by natural biological birth and following the religious practices, Jesus didn't say to him, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He didn't say to him, I'll give you water so you never thirst again. He told him, be born again. You mentioned Zacchaeus. He didn't tell Zacchaeus to sell his possessions and give to the poor. Zacchaeus does reconcile for the wrongs that he had. So what's the common thread becomes the question. And I really think the common thread is remove, let go of the barrier between God and me. Remove that which is removing the intimacy between God and me. What has been my God? Colossians 3:5 says that greed is idolatry. It's worshiping the stuff, not the giver. It's worshiping the gifts, not the giver. That's good. Let go of sin and pride and hard-heartedness and tight-fistedness of my time, talent, and treasures. Let go. Go and let go. And hold on to the giver. Generosity is trusting in the giver. Verses 23 and 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel, the largest animal in Palestine, to go through the eye of a needle, the smallest item in a home in Palestine, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then verse 25 and 26, when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I want you to write this down. I can't fill the gap. He can. I can't fill the gap. He can. The reward is intimacy with God and others. The reward of generosity is intimacy with God and others. The connection of my innermost being and all the resources of my life with the God of the universe and also with others. And so the whole point comes to this. Write this down. It's I release the generous one in me. I release the generous one in me. I release Christ in me. Megan and I were riding in a car yesterday after a basketball practice, and we just had a little lunch together, and we were talking about this idea was fresh on my mind, the rich young ruler and how religion was a part of his life. And we were talking about people putting rules and regulations over relationships. And I said, Megan, I am convinced more than ever at this point in my journey that it is absolutely wrong to call Christianity a religion. It is a relationship. It is about releasing Christ, the God of the universe, in me. It has nothing to do with rules and regulations that manipulate some form of deity that I've contrived in my mind. And Paul says this so well in Galatians 2, 20 and 21. I think he sums up the whole idea. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. I have let go of holding on to the gifts. But Christ lives in me. The generous one lives in me. And I now hold on to the giver. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by trusting in the Son of God, by holding on and trusting not in the gifts, but in the giver, because he loved me and he gave himself up for me. He loved the rich young rulers in this room right now. And he goes on in verse 21 and says, just so you get it straight, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, if I could be made complete, if I could be made perfect by just making the right choices, obeying the right regulations, then Christ died for nothing. It's releasing the generous one in me. We've asked the team to come up and sing a song that was written by Tommy Walker at a season where he was saying, God, my soul is thirsty. I'm dissatisfied. I don't get it. What's this gap in me? Am I doing the right thing with my time, my talent, and my treasures? And Tommy came to a point where he said, you know what? It was about intimacy with God. And that's what it's about for you, and that's what it's about for me. And there's this connection to intimacy with God and the generosity of releasing the giver in me. So as they sing, I just invite you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes and just do as we do sometimes, put palms up on your knees. And I want you to pray to God to break through your time. Maybe you're white-knuckling your time and there's somebody that you need to give a little more time to. It might be one of your children, it might be a coworker, it might be a friend. But you say, God, break through in the time. Release the generous one in me. It might be your talent as you reviewed the use of the uniqueness that God created you to be. Maybe you need to give your talent, be generous with it. And help somebody out who's in need. Maybe it's your treasures, and maybe it's time to let go of the treasures, start holding on to the giver, and just ask God right now as they sing to break through your treasures. And in order to do that, he's got a breakthrough right now in your heart. So ask him with eyes closed, heads bowed, palms lifted up. Just make it your prayer. Jesus, break through in me. Great.
touch from you, my King, my friend, and I'll never be the same again. Break through all my doubts, break through all my fears, break through.
Again, you are brighter.
You are brighter than my darkest night, stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my King, my friend, and I'll never be the same.
Just give us another couple of minutes, if you would, and let me just invite you. Mitch and I would just love to give you something just extremely practical to do this week. I know for many of us, we just need something we can kind of put our arms around and ask God to help us with. Would you, with your time this week, any of you, would you be willing this week to make an appointment, to take that calendar, however you keep it, and just carve out an hour to give yourself, to give your time to the Lord, to God. And whatever that might look like, you know, maybe it's outside these four walls, an opportunity for you to give yourself to someone, an opportunity to offer time, to volunteer, to come alongside and encourage. Would you be willing to give up an hour of your week? How about your abilities, your talent? Would you this week be willing with the gifts God's given you, the abilities that you have, would you be willing to go and fix someone's fence in your neighborhood? Would you be willing to bring a meal to someone who's sick? Would you, any of you, be willing with your talent, your abilities, to offer those to someone else other than your own personal agenda? Would you come help with some kids on a Sunday morning? There's still some kids around here that still need some help on Sunday mornings. We could use your abilities to tell a story or pour a glass of punch. How about your treasures? Would you be willing to take a look at what God has provided you with? And would you be willing to sacrificially and generously give a little bit away? Maybe give a little bit more in your ongoing commitment to the ministries of this place, or give a little bit more to a friend or family member who needs help with a payment, to have your antenna up to the financial needs of those in your world. Would you this week be willing to give yourself to any of the above? We hope so. Hey, next week we're going to come back, and this is a serious topic, and it can sometimes be a funny topic as well. It can be a sensitive topic whenever we talk about finances and the church and giving and your part, your participation as part of this family in the generous support of these ministries that God's given us. And so come back next week. I'm going to do my very best to just be so very open and honest with you about our current fiscal reality and what the Bible says and what the scriptures teach about your opportunity and mine to be a part of that. Sometimes there are misconceptions about giving and finances in church that just kind of cracks me up what I hear at times. Other times it saddens me, but nonetheless, well, we want to just show you a few of those misconceptions, just a few vignettes here to kind of get you ready, in a sense, for what we're going to talk about next week. So listen, here's some of what we sometimes hear, and I'll come back up in just a moment and we'll close.
Four, eight, 15, 16, 23, 42. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Those are your lucky numbers?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing these for years.
Really? Have you won yet?
Nope, but tonight's the night. I can feel it.
Yeah, you and me both.
Oh, yeah? We'll see about that.
Oh, no. I was thinking today about what I'm going to do with the $10 million. I've got big plans.
Me too. I keep this list on me of what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay off my house, put tennis courts in my backyard, buy a Mercedes, go on an African safari, and I'm going to buy the Pacers.
That's big.
Oh, and of course, give some moolah to the church.
Oh, yeah, sure you will. Won't we all?
Oh, yeah, really, I will. I mean, I'm going to give enough so they can build a new wing and name it after me.
A new wing, huh?
Well, yeah, you got to keep that big guy upstairs happy, you know.
Oh, honey, I wanted to mention. You know how the church has been encouraging us to give to that ministry, the Vine, the one that helps people with physical and financial needs? Well, I thought we should discuss it and consider giving just a little something.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Good, good.
What were you thinking?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
You say first.
No, I think you should.
Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're both going to write down on a piece of paper what we think we ought to give, and then we'll show each other.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right, you ready?
Ladies first.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're going to show each other at the same time. On the count of three.
Okay. One, two, three.
$20? What? Are you cheap?
$150? What, are you crazy? Can we afford $150?
This money is going to people who need it. Yes, we can afford it.
Maybe if you give up your clothes money for next month.
No way. Okay, what if you go your golfing this whole month? I mean, why do I always have to be the one to sacrifice, huh?
Who said anything about sacrifice?
Dear Pastor Kelly, thank you so much for all that you do as you lead us with your passion, energy, and willing spirit. I felt so very inspired to give sacrificially this past week. And it felt so good to be obedient to the Lord. Thank you again for encouraging me to give. And since I put so much in the giving plate, which I know partially goes to your salary, I was thinking perhaps I could suggest a few songs for us to sing next Sunday. Please have Corbin prepare Shout to the Lord and Deep and Wide. Oh, and maybe to throw in a saxophone player. Also, I was thinking maybe you could do a sermon on recycling. And perhaps, with some of the money I sent you, you could buy a tie to wear while you preach on it. And another thing, I'm getting a little sick of the mismatched carpeting in the sanctuary, and I think it's time that we switch it over to blue. I'm keeping a little list running of things that I see need done around our church, and I'll just send them to you a little at a time. Thank you again for encouraging me to give. And let me know if you'd like me to send you a little sermon outline sometime. Please have Corbin know that I'll be sending him a song request every week from now on. Sincerely, Jane Smith.
Hey, dear, I've got one.
Okay.
Got one.
Okay.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew what you were then. Sorry.
No, dear. Did you pay the bills this week?
Oh, of course, darling.
Good.
Yes.
Good. How about NIPSCO?
Oh, yes, I did. And it actually went down from last month.
Cool.
I know.
Down.
I know.
Verizon?
Yeah. Well, we need to watch our minutes and our texting. Oh. We went a tad over.
I wonder whose fault that was.
Well, anyway, I also paid the mortgage and the car loans as well.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Do we have anything left to put in the offering plate this morning?
Well, I've got $5 on me.
Oh. Well, let's see. Hey, I've got two.
All right, $7.
Seven, isn't that like a holy number or something?
Well, yeah, and it's almost 10.
All right, way to go.
Yes, that's awesome.
There we go, yeah. All right, just a few examples of some misconceptions and questions.
Hey, honey,
and things
let me get a little bit more slack. I'm almost there.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's good, honey. Hey, I know. Oh, hey. Don't mind me. You just keep on preaching there, brother.
Thank you.
I was plugging in the RV for some electricity so we could watch us some Judge Judy.
Watching a little Judge Judy, huh?
Yeah. We figure since we gave you old cashola and the old giving plate last week, that you wouldn't mind us plugging up the RV for some Judge Judy.
I see.
You know, part of our offering do go to the giving, or do go to the electricity around here, big guy.
It's on, honey. It's on.
Thank you
very
much.
Oh, you're gonna love this case. Hurry up and tell that bird man that I said, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. So anyway, all kinds of misconceptions, all kinds of mullets running around. Hey, would you stand? And let me just close this in a word of prayer. Again, looking forward to next week. I really hope you'll come. We find ourselves these days in a financial reality where we could really use your help, thinking through what God's Word says, and as a family, maybe just being willing to think through what it means and looks like to generously support. And thank you so much. The feedback we've gotten already has been so encouraging. And we'll look forward to next week and a chance to talk some things through. Father God, thank you for this time, and thank you for those who are here today. God, thank you for the privilege that we have in settings like this to examine our own hearts and allow your Spirit and your truth to do its life-changing work. God, continue to grow us. And continue, God, please, to grow us toward generosity and away from greed. Allow us the courage, please, to let go. And allow us the grace, God, to hold on to you and to follow Christ with everything we have. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.